Peter and Cephas. Cephas is the bad guy here. So I don't know about you, I like baptisms. And having been a godfather not once, but two times, I am my family called the Godfather. But as we look and listen to the readings, there's something very special today that is offered. Looking and listening and learning are the invitations that we hear emanating from today's readings. They suggest that being a disciple is about intelligent looking and attentive listening. The readers offer an invitation to learn our faith. Jesus brings them in the gospel, according to John, through the vision of sight. Throughout John's gospel, the image of looking and watching is prevalent. In fact, portions of John's gospel is called the section of signs and wonders, of the miraculous witnessing. They could see the faith that was happening. And the disciples then are taught, learning how to observe and pay attention to what they observe, even to the resurrection. The resurrection in John's gospel, Jesus appears as a gardener to Mary Magdalene. And what is his question? Who are you looking for? Notice the powerful image that radiates throughout John's gospel. Learning is discipleship is learning to observe and to look. Similarly, learning to listen to the voice of God is at the heart of the first reading from the book of Samuel. Notice how the boy Samuel learns how to listen to the promptings of God's voice at night, and Eli teaches him. Now it is important to note that Samuel is in the temple as he hears the voice of God. He is already a follower and is ministering the temple. What does that mean? He calls to take care of the sacred flame that it does not go out. That's Samuel's job. And he's there from dusk to daybreak, learning to listen. And so he's learning, as he's doing this, it's learning to listen to the burning fire of faith and watching it. We are therefore given a wonderful image. We are in the world when it is dark. We are vigilant ourselves to keep God's light burning and called to listen to what God has to say. Perhaps if we listen in the dark, like Samuel, we will be guided to know how to carry the flame of God into our world. As believers, my brothers and sisters, we too are called by God at times to keep the light going in the darkness of our lives and our world. But we cannot do it alone. We need mentors and teachers to give us that instruction, how to listen, how to look. One such believer who listened and looked as a disciple was Dr. Martin Luther King, whose holiday we celebrate this weekend. In a dark world of racial inequalities, Martin Luther King tended the flame of nonviolence and racial equality. But like Samuel, he needed someone to teach him how to look and to listen. Much is known about Martin Luther King's courageous witness and his tragic death, but not a whole lot is known about his teachers. Certainly his parents were great teachers. His father, Martin Luther King Sr., was a great preacher, and Daddy King was known throughout the South. But a visitor to the King household who made a great impression was a great preacher himself, Reverend Howard Thurman. Much is not known about him, but he was one of the most influential African-American preachers of the 20th century. He was born in 1899 in Daytona Beach, Florida, and was on the vanguard of preaching the values that would inspire King and influence the civil rights movement. In 1935, Howard Thurman and his wife traveled on a pilgrimage of friendship to India, where he met Mohammed Gandhi and got converted into the strategies of nonviolence that he later taught Martin Luther King. Before he died in 1982, Thurman's final ministry for 15 years was at Boston University's Marsh Chapel. For 7 years, from 1989 to 1996, I had the privilege of serving on the campus ministry at Boston University's Marsh Chapel. I had the honor of preaching from the very same pulpit that Thurman did for so many years, and that King, who was a student and a graduate, both at a master's degree and later a doctorate from Boston University, also preached. One got the feeling of what they were saying and living when you ascended the pulpit. I got a sense of who Thurman was and how Thurman really inspired King. To know King, one really needs to know who Thurman was. So, for example, when he led the demonstrations in 1956 in Montgomery, King carried close to him Thurman's book, Jesus and the Disinherited. It was written in 1949. Listen to the opening sentence of Thurman's book. It speaks volumes of what King did. Quote, "The significance of the religion of Jesus to people who stand with their backs against the wall has always seemed to me to be crucial." For Thurman and for King, listening to God and looking for Christ in the world meant listening and looking at people whose backs were against the wall in those days. Many sentences that flowed from the lips and the pen of Thurman would have inspired King as he traveled and was subjected to racist shouts. How King held his ground, perhaps through words such as Thurman. Quote, "If a man knows precisely what he can do to you or what epithet he can hurl against you in order to make you lose your temper, your equilibrium, then he can always keep you under subjection." King took those words of Thurman to heart. And in 1958, after King survived a near fatal stabbing by a deranged woman in Harlem, Howard Thurman visited King in the hospital. And King later sent a letter to Thurman in which he recalled what Thurman guided and told King. King asked Thurman, "Where do I go from here?" from the hospital bed. And King said further, "I am following your advice on the question." He doesn't spell out the advice, but Thurman's reply expresses joy. Quote, "That plans are afoot in your own thinking for structuring your life in a way that will deepen its channel." He also hoped to discuss with King the fulfillment of the tasks to which our hands are set. Do you see the collaboration, mentor to student, Thurman to King? Thurman's abundance of thoughts and wisdom surely inspired both King and others. Listen to this one and see how it may apply to our own lives. Quote, "There is something in every one of you that waits and listens for the sound of the genuine in yourself. It is only the true guide you will ever have. And if you cannot hear it, you will all of your life spend your days on the ends of strings that someone else pulls." Notice how Thurman is speaking, not just to King, but to each of us, like the Spirit spoke to Samuel, listening to that voice inside. Thurman also spoke, "The movement of the Spirit of God in the hearts of men and women often calls them to act against the spirit of their times, or causes them to anticipate a spirit which is yet in the making. In a moment or dedication, they are given wisdom and courage to dare a deed that challenges and to kindle a hope that inspires." Now we have a sense of what inspired King to do so much and create a structure that had yet been envisioned. Or finally, this statement from the mid-20th century echoes into our own day. Thurman wrote, "During times of war, hatred becomes quite respectable, even though it has to masquerade often under the guise of patriotism." Unquote. What part, my brothers and sisters, do we have to work for justice at our home and our society? Cardinal Wuerl, you'll read it on the front page of the bulletin, wrote a letter on racism in which cardinals spoke, "Intolerance and racism will not go away without a concerted awareness and an effort on everyone's part. Regularly, we must review the commitment to drive it out of the hearts, our lives, and our community. While we may devise all types of politically correct statements to proclaim racial equality, without a change in the basic attitude of the human heart, we will never move to that level of oneness that accepts each other for who we are and the likeness we all share as images of God," unquote. Those words are the Archbishop of Washington. Yes, my brothers and sisters, today's reading give us an occasion to ask God, how do we learn to look? How do I learn to listen? And what role do we carry out in our own way of fulfilling the dream of equality among all citizens of all peoples? It is indeed listening like the boy Samuel. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening to the signs of the times. And it is like the disciples called in John's Gospels to look for Jesus, especially to the marginalized and the poor. To look, because Jesus is saying, come, see where I live. Stand, and we'll have the general sessions.